rest of the story. His name was Edward Everett. In his day, America's foremost orator. Once a noted Boston minister and professor of Greek, Everett subsequently became president of Harvard, governor of Massachusetts, United States senator, minister to England, and secretary of state. But of all of his political and scholarly achievements, Edward Everett was best known, best loved, and most respected for his oratory. At public speaking, he was the craftsman's craftsman, sometimes devoting months of preparation to a single speech. For Everett, a 100-page oration was nothing, and yet there's no record of his ever having referred to as much as a single note. And more than his words were memorized. Every emphasis, every pause, every gesture was well rehearsed, dependable, flawless. He had appeared to speak under every prestigious circumstance. His oration on Washington had been repeated 100 times throughout the country. The monies from his speeches frequently went to philanthropies. So in many ways, the oration he was scheduled to give in Pennsylvania on October 23 would be just one more. When Edward Everett was invited to speak that October, he replied, "Impossible. Adequate preparation would require much more time." So the organizers of the dedicatory ceremony, in order to meet Everett's convenience, did postpone the occasion for almost a month. And when at last a date was set and Everett arrived in town, pandemonium. A superstar was in their midst. He'd come in 3 days early to study the area, to get the feel of it. A number of news sources kept him abreast of current events so that the references in his speech would be accurate to the moment. And up to that moment, he was revising the manuscript, scrupulously editing, juxtaposing paragraphs, endlessly, tirelessly. He rehearsed, bracketed portions for omission. He had timed his delivery to accommodate a specific 2 hours. Now all is in readiness. And when he rose to the platform, a deafening eruption of applause. When he began and throughout his oration, an irreverent silence. His mind and utterance moved deftly from thought to thought, each sentence perfectly balanced. His white hair, his erect form, his graceful pose, his faultless gesticulation, his becoming attire, his poise, his self-control, his clear voice, his knowledge, his precision, his oratorical power, all of these combined to weave a spell about the audience, to mesmerize them. And then it was over. 1 hour and 57 totally mesmerizing minutes. The ovation was tremendous. The incomparable Edward Everett had done it again. And there was another speaker that afternoon, having not been officially invited to attend the ceremony, much less to speak. His presence, his smattering dedicatory remarks, were greeted with indifference. Following a tolerant rustle of applause, many privately expressed their disappointment. Some expressed it publicly. In fact, the second string speaker knew that he had failed. He had been outclassed by Edward Everett's stunning oratory on that Thursday afternoon so long ago. For you see, the squeaky-voiced speaker who was forced to follow Everett's eloquent act was President Abraham Lincoln. But because he, Lincoln, also spoke that afternoon, Edward Everett's oratory was not the only Gettysburg address. And now you know the rest of the story.